You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Soul Rehab is the name of our series, the title of our series, and we're so glad that you're here today. As we continue this series, it is our anniversary, as we just said, but we're going to share within this series kind of like the word that God has given us for 2021. And if you're new to Connect Community, maybe you started attending Connect Community online during this pandemic, and now you're with us. Every year, we start with the word, a word that is meant to be the focus for the year, a word that we believe God put in our hearts to set direction and to kind of give us a framework for how we're going to serve our community, how we're going to approach our messages, how we're going to structure our teams. And it's usually along our vision and mission, obviously, to connect to God, others, and purpose. But there's a flavor, a tone to it that kind of like leads us into the year. So this year, as we were praying and thinking about this year, last year, the word that God put in our hearts, funnily enough, was simply unity. We were thinking about this through the pandemic, and as a disclaimer, you know, we thought about this, and we had been praying about this even before the November election, and this is not to say, like, we thought about it first, because that's not really the point. The truth is that there's never a point in a church where unity is not part of the context of the church, right? Because unity is central to the gospel. And also, as far as our culture, our country, we hear a lot about unity now, but unity is even in the name of our country. We are the United States of America. So it's not really a new idea in either field. So I don't want you to think that this is a message that has a political inclination. It's not. Just giving you the context so you know where this word came from, because when the virus was raging last year and you know, protests were happening and there was so much going on through the summer into the fall, our heart as pastors, our heart as a team, as leaders, was to really pray and ask God, how can we help people see you through this whole thing? How can we help people connect to you through the noise right now in this season? And so in that process, we begin to pray and think about 2021. And I was reminded of something that's relevant today, because when we first moved to Connecticut, some of you know we came here from Texas. And when we first moved to Connecticut, our prayer was, God, what are we going to do in Connecticut? Like, we have a heart for the state. We have a heart for the region. We love Fairfield County. We believe that you're calling us there. There's a need for a life-giving church in that region. But what are we going to do? Like, what do we have to bring to the table? And I remember God whispering succinctly in my heart and also in Alini's heart, saying, just teach him to love one another. That's it. Just teach him to love one another. So last year, as we were meditating, God brought us back to the root of our calling here. Why? What should we do? Well, we should love one another. So this idea of unity took shape and took form. So I want to expand on that today. I want to give you a picture of what unity looks like God's way. There are different ways people unite. Many things can cause people to unite. People unite for a cause. And we see that in a large scale and small scale. People can unite around a cause. People unite around memes, as we have seen recently. People are united by blood. If you have a blood relative, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, doesn't matter how great or how bad the relationship is, you're related. So you're united in some way. People unite against a common enemy. We're seeing this worldwide now. Everybody is united in the same way against this enemy, which is this virus that we're all fighting. People unite for good, and people unite for evil, because unity is powerful. Now, I want you to remember that unity, I mentioned this here 2 weeks ago, unity is at the center of God's design. When you open the scriptures, in the very first pages, in the first three chapters of the scriptures, you see a beautiful picture of unity. God formed the man out of dirt, and he breathed his life into the man. Out of himself, he gave man his life. And when he formed men and women, he caused them to live in perfect harmony. Scripture says that they were naked and unashamed. That's a beautiful picture. And every day in the evening, they would walk with God in the cool of the day, the scripture says. That daily they would walk with God in the cool of the day. What a beautiful picture of unity amongst people and between people and God. That's how the story of mankind starts in the scripture. That's how we learn that God's design shaped us. That's what he made us for, perfect unity. But then we also learn in chapter 3 and 4 that sin comes in. And what's the first effect of sin? Separation. Disunity. The first effect of sin is separation between men and God and between the Adam and Eve, between man and man, man and woman. And that effect can be seen because they did not only hide from God, but they hid from each other. They made themselves articles of clothing. That's not just a physical thing. There's a great significance in that story about how we relate and how we connect to one another. It's no small thing that the scriptures begin with this depiction of unity and separation caused by sin. And since then, as you read through the stories, God's covenant with Abraham, God's covenant with Moses, God's covenant with David, and the coming of Christ being the culmination of God's attempt and effort to reunite people and reconcile all things. That has always been in God's heart. And he's always calling people, always calling nations, always calling people to reunite to him. That's why you're here today, because you felt a calling in your spirit to unite with God. Now, there are different models of unity when we talk about unity. And I want to clarify that. That's mainly my point today, to clarify the different models of unity that we see today. There's a model of unity that we see in our culture, and we see a lot in politics as well. And I want to compare that with the model of unity that we see in the scriptures. Now, I said this earlier. This is not a political message, but you might think of politics as I share this message. The reason being is because sometimes politics ventures into our field, right? It's not just us talking about politics. Politics ventures into our field. And unity is one of those subjects. That when politicians and leaders and people in the public sphere, when they talk about unity, we're not talking about something political. Because unity is not something political. Unity is something moral. Why? Because when you talk about unity, the implication is that unity is good. And the good of unity is going to push away or expel some kind of evil. And for that, you need a moral framework. The implication is that there is something moral about unity. And the morality of unity is not a political subject. It's a philosophical subject. And when you enter in the field of philosophy and you talk about morality, especially objective morality, when you imply that there is a good, right? You cannot have a good that is objective without God. Because the implication is that every single one of us, we are trying to reach a good that exists apart from us. So we understand that this good was here before we were even here. And somehow we are to attain it. That, my friends, means that somebody established that good. That somebody designed that good. And that is the field of theology. That's our field. That's your field. If you are a follower of Jesus, unity is in your wheelhouse. If you are a God-believing person, unity is in your wheelhouse. wheelhouse. And we have been entrusted by Jesus to show the world what unity looks like. That's what Jesus entrusted us with. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17, verses 22 through 24. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfectly one. He's talking about us. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. This is a great, and there's some depth here that we're going to explore today. A great, great prayer by Jesus. So here's what unity looks like in a lot of circles. In a lot of cultures, and when I say cultures, I don't mean world cultures. I mean like your office culture, your home culture. This is what unity looks like. You have an idea of unity where, for those in the back, I don't know if you can see this, but I'm drawing dotted lines. Let me put a squiggly one here, a rebel. And this is mainly how you see unity in a lot of contexts. A lot of companies, a lot of leaders, a lot of politicians, when they talk of unity today, they talk of this. And this is not a critique or a jab at anybody specifically. But if you think of politics or if you think of anybody, I want you to think of yourself and I want you to think of your own party, okay? We're not going to point fingers today, all right? We're going to think of ourselves. This, if you think about your company culture, if you think about places that you've been to, this is most likely what unity means. Unity means to fall in line. Unity means to agree. Unity means to embrace a specific culture, embrace a specific set of values, embrace a specific set of conduct. Unity really means alignment. It means to align with that belief. And if you don't align, this little guy over here, then you are disrupting unity. Now, when you operate in this model, what happens more often than not is that for the things that you don't really care about, for the things that you don't have time to think about, because you have your worries, you have your things that you're doing, for the things that you're like, you know what? I don't really have an opinion on that. We fall in line. We fall in line with the hopes and expectation that when something that is valuable to us comes for a vote, comes for a decision, when something that's valuable to us is considered, that people will consider our opinion and what we think about, that they will be as gracious as we were or as careless as we were, and that they will return the favor. And this model, honestly, it's not bad. This is not a bad model because most organizations have that. Most organizations have some kind of belief or value system that you have to align to, right? Families have that. It's a model of unity that we see. The problem is that when you get this and you try to apply this for a larger group of people, or you want this to be applied to every single sphere of human life, it gets really complicated because the bigger the line, the harder it is to keep in line. The harder it is to enforce unity. You will need more pressure to enforce unity. You will need more rules to enforce unity. And when you think about applying this in a citywide or even countrywide, nationwide effort, you will see a lot of what we're seeing today in our society. And you probably have been involved in conversations and posts and videos and things that you've seen, and you're thinking, man, how can we reconcile this? How can we be united? Like, and it's not just out there, it's in people's family tables. It's within the scope of our close relationships. That's why this is really important for us to hone in today. Think about this. I've lived in Texas, and now I live in Connecticut. These are polar opposites in every way in our country. Texas is a conservative state. In the, they think they're the largest state in the nation. Everything is bigger in Texas. It really is. Especially the plate portions. They are enormous. And then Connecticut is a small state, leans to the left politically, and has a different view on how the government should behave. So, for example, some people believe that taxing the rich at 90% is perfectly plausible. Other people think that government shouldn't do that. That's too much. One group thinks that government is the most important institution in our society, and that it is the moral obligation of every citizen and every organization to empower the government and make sure that the government is well-funded so that the government can take care of people in the margins, and the government can go and allow people in the margins to lift, to come out of the margins and get education, whatever, all the programs, right? One group of people believes that. The other group of people believes that government is the least competent entity and institution to actually do that. That we should do that through the private sector. And you have these two group of people, smart people, who have these two ideas that are not even that controversial. It's just a different perspective. Trying to come into unity. Do you see how this is difficult? Do you see how this is complicated for us to reconcile? And I've been in circles with both. I know friends and even pastors, leaders that believe in both. And these are great people. These are awesome people. These are people that, you know, they want the best for everybody. And I'm talking strictly on one subject. Now think about all the other subjects that come to play, right? I picked something mild here that we can share that everybody has been exposed to. How can unity happen in such a case? How can we come together, even in our families? See, this model of unity can work for your company and your place of work because you get to go home at night and you get to have your own life. This can work for an organization, can even work for a family. This works a lot of marriages. This works for marriage. Not always, right? But it works because you only have one person that you need to agree with and come into line with. And this model works. It may work for your family as well, but it'll be hard to work, make it work for a larger group of people all the time. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this applies to church as well. Think about you in your life with God, in your life in the church. If all you think about Christianity, if all you think about the way you should behave and the way you should act in the world is in this framework, then you're thinking, I got to line up. I got to come into an alignment if I want to do this right. And to be a Christian all the time, round the clock this way, man, it's exhausting. This only works in church life if you align on Sundays. And you come here, and you put your Sunday best, and you come in your best behavior, and you pray, and you worship. But then on Monday, you get to go squiggly. You get to relax a little bit. Because right? how can you, it's exhausting, man. It's unbearable to do that round the clock. So, this year, when you think of unity, I want you to think of God's model. I don't want you to think of this, even though this is not a bad model. It can't work in certain contexts. But when you think of unity, when you think of unity God's way, I want you to think of God's model. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Those four categories there are enormous. Paul is not writing them by chance here. This is huge for those who are reading. And all were made to drink of one spirit. So this is God's model. I'm going to try to do this. I'm not a designing, drawing guy, but going to try to do this, okay? Let's see if I can make it happen. You see this? It's supposed to be a body, okay? All right. Huh? It's the hair. Smile. Oh, I put it in the wrong place. Oh, my God. All right. You get the picture. My point is this. I feel like I need to rip that off and draw it again, but I'm going to leave it there. It looks like it has wings. These look like feathers, not fingers. Here's my point. God's model of unity is not alignment. God's model of unity is belonging. You belong to a body. You are part of the body. You are part of this body that God formed. You belong in it. God, the way you were made, the way God fashioned you, He did so with the body in mind. And He formed this body with you in mind. You have a part in it. You are part of the body. Man, woman, young, old. You belong. And I want you to understand today that God designed the body, as I said, with you in mind. And the picture that Paul is giving here is beautiful because we are all different. And this is crucial for us to understand. We are all different. And we all have little squiggly parts. That if we believe this is the model, we're never going to feel like we belong. We are a body. And we belong in that body. We all have different skill sets. We have different gifts. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are artists. Some of you are good with numbers. Some of you are great with pictures and design. Some of you are leaders. Some of you are managers. Some of you are athletes. You can run so fast. I'm talking to you, Fabricio. You are in the field that you are in, probably, because you are so good at what you do. Your profession is probably within the wheelhouse of your capacities and your skill set. Listen to what Paul tells the church in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body and individually members of one another. Listen to that. Individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion of faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture that shows how we exist in the world, that you exist in the world, in your profession, in your families, in what you do as members of the body that God has formed. You are members of a body and you function in the world as part of this body. It's beautiful. Some of you are the eyes. Because you can see things that others can't quite see. You have that ability to see things. You have discernment. You have revelation. You can see things easier. Some of you are the mouth. You can say things. You have a way to articulate things that to give guidance, to walk into delicate situations and converse and talk to people and guide to people in a way that not everybody can do. But you have that ability to bring God's word into a situation in a way that just goes into people's hearts. Some of you are the feet. You are just inspired and driven to go to the most unlikely places to share God's goodness. You just want to go to the places that nobody thinks about. And you're like, I'm going to go right here. And I'm going to share God's goodness and God's gift with people in need. Some of you are the hands, these beautiful hands, to minister to people. Because you care, you have compassion. The social distancing has been hard for you. Because you want to touch, you want to hug, you want to bless, you want to bless people because you are moved by compassion. But here's the secret: is that we're not supposed to fall in line and behave just like each other. We are supposed to complement each other. We complement one another. We are to be connected, not considering each other worse, not think of oneself more highly than we ought to, but to, in perfect harmony, unite. And when we do that, as we do that, what did Jesus say? People will see God. They will see Christ. As we unite, people will see the full picture of God on earth. That's what Jesus was talking about. Now, here's the problem that we find. People don't have this revelation. Not everybody has this revelation. When we think of unity, the automatic thought is alignment. We have to align. And for those moments that we can't, that we don't, we feel like unity is impossible. When we hear unity, we think that we need to fall in line. And a lot of people, this is their introduction to faith. This is their introduction to their walk with God, and that becomes difficult. Because if you think that being a Christian is to fall in line, you think, I gotta behave like Christians behave. I gotta think like Christians think. I got to talk like Christians talk. I got to eat like Christians eat. And boy, can Christians eat. A fun fact, when we were hiring our caterer for our wedding, they asked if it was a Christian wedding. And we were surprised. They were like, well, why? They said, because every Christian wedding, we have to add 20% of food to it. Because Christians eat. So if you want to save money on your wedding, invite some atheists, okay? Unity with Christ is not alignment. Now, is your behavior going to change? Yes. Is your speech going to change? Yes. Is your thinking going to change? Yeah, by God, yes. But these changes are not imposed on you, are not something that you have to make it happen. It's not a condition for your belonging. It's a transformation that happens as we act within the body. As we connect to the body. As we connect to the head. That transformation begins to happen as we are part of the body. And I'll say something to you. I'll just confess to you right here, right now, as a church leader, as a pastor, as somebody who's been in this culture. I was going to say business. It's not a business, but all my life, it's a lot easier to align. It's a lot easier to lead this way. It's a lot easier to make people fall in line. To me as a leader, it would be a lot easier for me to get my team and get them to behave the way I want them to behave and say, here's how you got to do it. Here's what. It's a lot easier to do that. The problem is, it's in the long haul, things become difficult. I would have saved a lot of headaches and a lot of conversations. But it's not the most fruitful model. Why? Because when you try to get people to fall in line, All of their efforts are on falling in line. So being a Christian for you becomes, I have to do this. I have to do this. I gotta stop. I need to stop cursing. I'm gonna stop drinking. I gotta stop smoking. I gotta stop dating. I gotta stop. I gotta stop. I need to stop that. And then you come to me and you say, JD, I'm doing it. I feel so free and light. It's so good. I'm not doing any of those things. And then time goes by. And then you say, oh, it's so hard. It's not as easy because why? Because you're not seeing the results. You're not connected to the body. You're just an independent line trying to fall in. You're not connected to anything. And then before long, this is how you feel. You not only feel empty, you feel empty and bored. And this is what will happen. You know? You're gonna get squiggly. You're gonna start getting squiggly there. You can't hold on forever. I'm calling you to the other side. I'm calling you to see your life with God, God's way. I'm calling you to understand what God is calling you to be a part of. That is something much greater than just aligning your behavior or aligning your thinking. Listen, God will change you, yes, and He will change you for the better. But it's not on your own effort. If you spend all your time and all your energy trying to stop in a line, you're not going to be fruitful. It's not going to be something that you will do with joy in your heart. And here's my plea to you. Instead of focusing on stopping or aligning, how about you focus on engaging, connecting, being part of this body, moving in your life as part of this body that Jesus has called you to. Instead of thinking, I need to stop this, how about I should do this new thing? I should engage in this practice. Instead of saying, I got to stop doing this, how about I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start reading the scriptures. I'm going to start communing with other believers. I'm going to start acting as a child of God and belonging to the body that God has established on this earth. Here's what the scripture says, Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 6, 11 through 16. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's our job. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. This is also womanhood. It's for everybody. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Just think about that verse for a minute. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, that's you and me, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow, there's so much wisdom there. And I encourage you to go through Ephesians 4 at your own time this week and just meditate on that. Think about that. Think about it. When each part is working properly, we build each other in love. When each part is working properly, that means this. I can work my tail off, but if you're not working with me, we're not going to be working properly and we're not going to grow. I need you. You need me. We're a happy family. We need one another to help each other grow. That means We're not to align and behave just like each other. We are to belong to one another and complement each other. And complement one another. You grow in the body as you work in the body. So if you're looking for some spiritual growth, it's not going to come from you trying to align yourself. If you're looking for some spiritual growth, it's going to come as you connect to others, as you connect to the body, and you belong in the body. As you read the scriptures, as you become active in the body of Christ, as you take on these avenues and systems that are they're a little bit more difficult now during this pandemic, right? But we have connect groups. We have the services. Why do we put these things together? It's not just a liturgy so you can come here and feel good. It's so you can be a part of the body and grow with others and engage with others. And as you do that, as you read the scriptures, as you pray, as you pursue, as you remain connected to the body, to the head who is Christ, you begin to see the transformation. You are connected to God. It comes from God. That's when you'll begin to see breakthrough in your life. That's when you'll begin to see transformation in your life. So let me encourage you today. Don't spend all your energy trying to align, like I said before. Listen to God, what God is saying. God is saying, come be with me. Be in my presence. And as you connect and God begins to inspire you, this is what will happen. He will lead you to minister to others. He will lead you to use your gifts. And he will move you toward others. God will inspire you to use your talents to bless others. Someone else, to use your influence to help someone else, to help other people. When you allow God to do that and to move within you, he will do that. But here's the lie of the enemy. Okay? The lie of the enemy is this: you can't be used by God because you are not aligned. There's some squiggly parts in you, and you gotta sort those out first. And I'm telling you, in 2021, you got to get bold. And you got to tell the enemy, you shut your mouth. Not today, Satan. No. I belong to the body. I belong to the body. You belong. You can say, I belong to the body. I am a new creation in Christ. You know, this is what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:16, my last scripture for today. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is not a religious jargon. This is real. This is how it works. We no longer regard one another according to the flesh. What does that mean? I don't care what kind of car you drive. You're my brother. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. You're my sister. I don't care what the amount of melanin that you have in your skin. We are part of the body. We are part of the old has passed away. Behold, a new same body. You are part of the body. God can use you. You can be a light of God in the world. As Paul said, we are part of this ministry of reconciliation. So how can we reconcile? You have abilities. God has fashioned you. Come be part of this body and invite people to be part of the journey. That's how we unite, by supporting and blessing one another with what God has given us. And I want to encourage you to do that in the coming days. You will have plenty of opportunity to disagree. You'll have plenty of opportunity to criticize. And I want to encourage you to change the conversation in your sphere And when discussions come where people think differently than you, don't think this way. Think, you know what? You were probably fashioned by God in a different way. And there's a way here that we can complement each other. I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to push you away. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be a blessing in your life. So instead of criticizing this week, I want to encourage you to act like you're part of the body of Christ. This year, instead of finding points of attrition, find points of connection and bless someone. And if you do that, you will see. Not only will you feel like you belong in the body, not only will you feel like you know, you are part of this move of God in blessing all the nations, but you will be transformed as well. And God will take you from glory to glory to glory. And you will see true unity, God's way, in 2021. Do you believe it? Do you receive it today? Amen. Amen. Listen.